Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. If you love great games and a little extra excitement to your day, I got something fun for you. Chumba Casino and I have teamed up to create an exclusive online social casino game. It's called Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's fun and free to play, just like all your favorites from Chumba Casino. And every spin brings 10,000 ways to keep the good times going. Check it out and play for free today at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is continuing live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Okay, please be good morning. Please be seated. This is case number 2018 CA5321, Jack Kowalski, etc. et al. Versus Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital. Starting with the plaintiffs, let's take appearances, please.
Greg Anderson, Nick Whitney, and Samantha Lawrence on behalf of the plaintiffs.
Howard Hunter, Ethan Shapiro, Pat Grell-Ells, David Hughes, and Chris Haltenburn on behalf of Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital. And our corporate representative today is Dr. Richard Elliott.
I see Mr. Altenburns here in the courtroom. I did receive the further edits to the instruction. I know there's, I think there were three changes on page two. I'm still not enamored with the proposed sentence. Disagreements concerning her treatment could be addressed by the dependency court. So my thought is we just don't say that right this second, and we'll continue to have discussions for the final version.
So when do you plan to read the final version?
Well, my understanding is that you all wanted me to read this today, and then we were going to have a written version that would go to the jurors with the collection of jury instructions.
Okay, especially in the written one, I'm concerned with it ending in "to participate in decisions concerning your treatment," because I think it needs more.
And I think we need to come up with some language that I can live with, you can live with, and the plaintiffs can live with. And I just don't think we're there on that one sentence yet.
Okay. And I had suggested a minor change to a sentence on page...
On page four.
Four it is. I'm sorry, the blue highlighting, at least when it prints out, is darker than I...
My view on that, instead of using the word direct, let's use provide. So it would say the dependency court did not provide that Johns Hopkins could supervise the calls.
Okay.
I think we're threading the needle the best with that word.
Okay.
Your Honor, last night for the first time, I had an opportunity to review the proposed order, and I took a stab at revising our version of it. You should have it right around now. I know you're invested in this one. I did not get a chance because, you know, I'm falling asleep with the computer on my chest trying to get ready for the next day. So I finally got 99% of it done. You should have it, all counsel should have it, within the next 5 minutes. And I would really like to take a stab at helping, because I read through this, and just from trial counsel's point of view, I think it is going to raise so many questions with the jurors at this point that it's going to add days to this trial. And I honestly believe that. I want this to be as efficient as I can. I want both sides to have a fair shake at how to handle these orders. But I think there's a way to cut out a tremendous part of this. And my theory is this, that now that we have the history to compare to the orders, there's a bunch of terms, conditions, and in fact orders, such as the birthday order, which really have no bearing. There's no continuous time frame or alteration of time frame that would affect the jury's deliberation. So what I tried to do was, and I know nobody's seen it, and I apologize, ran out of sleep time, I don't know. But my thought is, if we can trim it down to the essence of those points that describe what they need to know as opposed to all of the orders, I think it would be more beneficial. And so that's what mine attempted to do. And again, I wish I could have gotten to it sooner, but I just had to prepare for trial too. So, could perhaps over lunch the court would have an opportunity to go through our proposed order. It's not brand new. It dovetails off of.
Well, let me ask you this: are you just cutting things out, or are you altering language?
Both. But I think at least opposing counsel has seen the version that. I was working off the one that you, Mr. Altenberg and Mr. Edelman were working on. So I think there is, again, quite a bit of it that is the same. In terms of the direct, when the court did the direct quotes of the orders, that's left in. It is simply cutting out some.
I'm not
of
even
the
sure
terms.
He's looking at
the old order. I just don't know how to respond.
The most recent version at this point. Honestly, because there's no. We don't have direct quotes in the version we're at.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think he's dealing with it.
My position is that we've wanted to give this to the jury sooner, and admittedly it's complicated, it's taking time, but it's the longer we wait, the more confused the jury remains on it.
Well, I completely disagree. I think that this
Let's do this. You say you have sent it or are sending it momentarily?
Momentarily, yeah. Ms. Stump, is she sending it right
now? She
sent
it, yes.
All right, you should have it. The court should have it. The counsel should all have it. And I have a printed copy.
Mr. Altenberg, were you going to be here today or were you just coming this morning for this issue?
I was planning to make a cameo and go back and work on jury instructions, but I can stay a little while longer at least. I will tell you on the jury instructions, I think we should have a packet to you hopefully by... I'm not sure how soon you want it, but by sometime early this afternoon. The biggest concerns in that packet, at least from my perspective, are on the count 14 stuff. We're getting close to when we're supposed to rest, and I still don't know what the issues are, whether it's going to be a standalone negligence claim or whether it's going to be fitted in to Med Mal. Right now, what they're sending me is a standalone simple negligence claim that our training caused damages without any reference to a doctor being negligent in the interim. So there's problems with that one that I really need to understand before we can rest.
And do we have a verdict form draft coming
with it? We're in the midst of that, but I think we can make great progress on that today.
I mean, I would like, and I know you and Mr. Alligat are working hard on making it happen. I don't want to give you a deadline,
right?
But
I mean, I think we can give you something that's a working document by tomorrow. I do. But some of it depends a little bit on some of the jury instructions, but I understand the format he wants, and I think we can probably work together on that today quite a bit. I understand that he has a law school reunion this weekend in Boston, and he's not going to be available for much this weekend, I guess. So.
Okay. The sooner that you can get it to me, the better. I guess that's the best. I don't want to put a time limit on it because I don't want to impact what you and Mr. Elliott.
Could I suggest that it would be faster and easier if I can get you kind of the questions they're going to answer yes and no and the elements on damages without worrying too much about the formatting of it? Because the formatting of a verdict form gobbles time for me.
I'm I'm probably going to end up doing the formatting myself.
Well, and that's actually what I told Mr. Elliott.
So I'm not worried about your formatting so long as it is in logical.
I think by tomorrow morning we can give you the logics of this and the language pretty close to what you need to work with. Now, I will make that as my goal. I stay late this evening trying to do it. So.
Ms. Seibach just brought in, I guess, Mr. Anderson, so I can hand you this. And
yes,
Ms. Seibach can print me another copy and bring that in. If you want to make a cameo again right after lunch.
On this and the other things?
On that issue.
I'm happy to do so.
And that way I don't hold you here. But
and I can give you progress on what we're doing on the other things by that point.
Bob Reddy.
But on let's close the loop on this. I really want this issue to be put to bed coming out of lunch. So
should I get with counsel first and then talk to the court?
Well, he's got your work product, so can he take your work product and then if necessary talk to Mr. Elliott this morning?
Absolutely, that was the intent.
But I don't know, I'll
this isn't a red line. This is just a set of changes.
There's a red line version emailed to you.
Okay.
I'm absolutely confident both Mr. Altenburg and Mr. Elliott are horrified at the thought of trial counsel getting in on their instructions. Anyway,
well,
I'm told the copy that was served is not red line. I'm not sure I can tell
it's
on
not,
my phone.
The one email that we're looking at has no red lines on it.
Did you get a red line version?
I'll make sure we get a red line version over.
If we get a red line version, she can print it and we can give it to you, Mr. Altenburg, and then
well,
you can take
if
off.
They serve it to me by the time I get back to my
great
alternate office, I can print it out there.
Altenburg Office South?
Yes. And you want me back here at 1 o'clock, right? I'm happy to do that.
I don't know what time we're going to take lunch today because I don't have
at the end of lunch is when you want it.
Correct. Right. So hopefully around 1-ish.
All right. Thanks a lot.
And I need to check where the defense is on Fabre. They've been stating that they were making a decision, that they made a decision on.
We have not.
But I should have a decision by lunchtime.
Okay. What's next?
Judge, I have an exhibit I need to put in before the witness this afternoon. It's a new exhibit it's not a new exhibit. It's an exhibit that the plaintiff has put in, but I've divided it into two packets because the defense position is that there are morning photos and there are afternoon photos. And so they merged them all together and mixed them up. So I divided them up. So I would like to admit 3,401.
Is this on this list?
It should be on the list. It is on the list. It's the last exhibit. To put it in order, there's 3,400. And I've given a hard copy of this to plaintiff's counsel. 1 through 14.
We object, but I'll wait.
And 3,401, 1 through 9.
Okay, and so 10. Just tell me what these are before we look at
it. Sure. Here's the deal, Judge. They put all these photos, they're already in evidence, all of these photos. They mixed them all together. You can tell by looking at them, in some of the photos she's in blue shorts, and some of the other photos she's in pink shorts. They merged them all together, they're all mixed up.
Is this the before and after court?
Correct, Your Honor. So I divided them up by before and after court, and I want to use them in that fashion with the witness, because otherwise it's totally confusing for me to be able to use the exhibit. It's the same exhibit, same exhibit, simply divided into morning and afternoon.
So all of these exhibits are already in.
That's correct, Your Honor.
And it's just a reorganization and putting them. So what's the issue, Mr. Whitney?
Your Honor, first of all, they're already in. They can make the argument about blue shorts or pink shorts without putting this photograph into evidence twice. Secondly, what they've labeled as 3,400, you'll notice, is not bait stamped. 3,401 is. So the accusation that we mix these all up, we don't know the progeny of 3,400 since there's no bait stamp on those.
Well, how about 3400-2. Are there any bait stamps?
There's no bait stamp on. I would just looked at all of them. Anywhere in 3400, there are no bait stamps.
Judge,
and we must say, Judge, that our information.
Can we go back to just one lawyer per subject?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Judge, I don't recall if their exhibit has bait stamps on them, but we can put the bait stamp on there if that's the issue.
Were the ones that came into evidence already, did they have bait stamps?
I don't recall, Your Honor. I don't know if they just had exhibit numbers, if they had bait stamps. Perhaps counsel can
They did, us. Your Honor. Ours had bait stamps, and...
Can you give me just tell me the exhibit number that's in evidence and pull it up real quick.
It looks like 2604-006. 2604-001.
Let's just pull up the first one.
Yeah, those are on.
And you'll see, these have bait stamps.
Well, Judge, we can put the bait stamp back on if that's truly an issue. I mean, there's no question they're the same photos.
And all I'm seeing here are three photographs. I don't know if... I'm sorry? Oh, they're not here in front of me. Okay. They all have bait stamps. We introduced them in the way they were produced to us, so the mixing up of order is not our... The blame doesn't go to us for that. This is the way the hospital produces them with bait stamps. We put them all in evidence. They can make their argument about blue shorts or pink shorts. There's a factual dispute about whether there were before and after photos. Of course, they take the position there were. Maya Kowalski says it happened one time. Kathy Beattie forced her to undress in front of her and changed her before court. That's a factual issue that they can take up with the photos that are already in evidence.
Judge, we'll be happy to put the bait stamp numbers on. I think probably got deleted when we put the new exhibit number on. Happy to put the same bait stamp number now so they can do a comparative analysis. They're clearly the same photos. It would be... I think the defense has the right to have the jury see these as two separate packets, one before and one after, as opposed to getting them all mixed up when they're back there in the jury room.
The other point I need to make...
I'm sorry.
Sorry, Ms. Quarles, you can finish.
Sorry.
These are clearly, in our view, and the testimony will be, two separate photo sessions.
The other point I need to make is there's no date and timestamp to confirm that. So what's the point of putting them in this fashion? They're already in evidence. They can make their argument. If they were timestamped and dated differently, if one was a morning set and one was an afternoon set, from the face of them, perhaps. But that's not the case.
I think at this point, Ms. Quarles, if these photos are already in, let's just go with what's already in. I don't want to, if Mr. Whitney is correct that these were produced in a different fashion and not as a coherent set, I don't want to be seen as glossing a coherent set. If they're already in evidence, let's just go with them as in evidence. Next issue.
Just as a matter of scheduling, the court had told the plaintiffs yesterday when we tried to publish emails whether we could just publish them or need to publish them through a witness. Since we're running out of trial days, the court asked the plaintiff to make a commitment this morning. So we would like to hear from the plaintiff whether they would require us to call a witness to publish or if we could just start publishing.
Anything further on?
I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention. We were not allowed to do so, Judge. We had to put ours in context with a witness with the court's ruling. We do not believe that it is appropriate nor particularly time efficient to stop the testimony to simply have the jury stare at the screen for a minute on each one of these. So we would object to just simply having them put in without a witness, any context or anything else.
Did I allow the plaintiffs to publish without a witness? And I'm not talking about a situation where we had a deposition and then published exhibits that occurred in the deposition, but did I allow plaintiffs to do this?
I did not. During the course of what I was doing, unless Mr. Whitney remembers differently, during the course of what I was doing, we did not have that, and we actually asked for it within the first week to be able to put some of the documents into evidence before we had a witness up. We were not allowed to do that. The court wanted it to be in context with a witness if we're going to bring them in, and it's a waste of time here to just have the jury stare at these. I mean, at least to have some context.
The court did allow them to publish, for example, policies and procedures of the hospital without calling a witness. In terms of efficiency...
What was that in relationship to a deposition, or did I just...
My sincere recollection is you just let them publish. In terms of efficiency, it's going to be far more efficient of the court's time for us to just publish, let them read, than for me to call a witness and walk them through. If they're going to require me to recall an expert, or require me to call somebody like Dr. Rich Elliott as a
Here's my thought. I don't want to just force people to spend money to publish a document that's in evidence. I think at the bottom line that is wasteful of everyone's time, money, and energy. But I don't want to spend time publishing 30 emails. So, you know, if you can do a handful and then perhaps get some others through a witness,
yep.
Obviously I will keep your time running during any publishing that you do, but I will allow you to do a couple of them without a witness.
Okay, so we will likely publish maybe 3 today. Okay, thank you, Aaron.
What's next?
I guess now, unless the defendants have found something overnight, we still do not have the 2017 review of Kathy Beattie, which would be the one that encompasses the actions of the fall of 2016. And we need to know, once and for all on the record, whether that exists or not. And if it doesn't exist, then we may need to recall the defendant's expert on that point, because his opinions, the court may recall, included a review that apparently does not exist. So they found it?
I believe we did inform counsel last night, but I double-checked with my client's HR department, and the last review for that period ran through October 27, 2016, which is the one that they were handed. Because they changed over systems, the next review did not start until July 1st, 2017, after the incident in question, 2018.
Yes.
Yeah, there's no written review after 10/27, so there is none to provide for the second part. Yes.
So there's no review of employees by the hospital? That's what I'm hearing you say.
There's no written review of this employee between 10/27/16 and 7/1/17 when the next...
Are there written reviews of other employees?
I'd have to double check that, Your Honor.
Can I add, Judge? My understanding, in speaking with the hospital, that they had a changeover in system, and because of that, there were no reviews done in October of 2017. They were done in October. In October of 2017, there isn't one. It's not until later that there's one, but I think the point, Judge, is the witness was testifying based on a document that ended in October of 2016. To the extent that the jury or the court or the other counsel is concerned that they were given the impression that there was a review he reviewed after that, we're willing to stipulate to a statement being read to the jury that says the review that was testified to by Mr.
Anderson.
Thank you. That's right, Anderson. Mr. Anderson was a review that ended in October of 2016. He did not review anything post-October 2016.
Well, it seems hard to believe that an organization did not conduct reviews. How did the hospital make decisions on whether to give an employee a raise or not a raise? It would seem to me that an organization would not go more than a year without giving employees raises based on some sort of review. And I know of no organization that is of a large that doesn't keep written documents of performance. Maybe small companies where you know the owner knows everybody, but
I hear you, Judge. My understanding, but we're going to double check. My understanding from talking to the people back there that do this is that because of some big, huge change, the reviews were all postponed, and there was no review done and written performance evaluation, such as what was done before in October of 2017. But let us get clarity on that issue.
When was the next written review? And I'm not just talking about Ms. Beatty. I'm talking about for everybody at the hospital.
We only focused on Ms. Beatty, so let us re-ask with that broader question in mind.
And the question of how did they give raise determinations if you don't have reviews? I mean,
let us clarify that, please.
Who's going to speak on this?
Yes, motion to strike the testimony of Mark Anderson to the extent that it involves opinions that where he based it in part on the 2017 review and or a jury instruction to that extent in the event that there is not a satisfactory explanation for what that is.
I want to get more information before we decide what we're going to do.
Yes, sir.
And we will do that, sir.
And just to let you know, you might need to have an HR person come and talk about this, and that might have to be done on short notice, so get somebody on warm standby.
We understand.
Anything else before we bring in the jury?
The only thing I want to say on that, Your Honor, is in regards to the record, we had given defense counsel notice last night that we wanted to recall witness Mr. Anderson, however this comes out. So we'd just like for that proposition to carry over until we get clarity. I don't know if he's flying out of the state. I don't know what he's doing, but we want to reserve the right to recall him depending on where this goes.
I think we've already said that he has to remain subject to being recalled.
Yes, sir.
Your Honor,
if you need to sit down, well, stay seated, that's fine too, Mr. Hunter.
That's okay. It's probably better for me to stay tough. I have two problems. The next witness is going to be Sally Smith. Number one, I have not spoken to her at all. We may need to have a discussion regarding what she should and should not say. In view of Your Honor's admonitions the other day, which I intend to abide by, but I want to make sure she understands. On the other hand, I don't wish to have her cross-examined about talking to me when all I'm doing is instructing her about the court's parameters and the court's ruling.
Well, why don't Mr. Anderson and Mr. Hunter go talk to her jointly? That way, there's not going to be any misunderstanding.
That's fine, and we can, but that brings us to problem two.
Problem two.
In the interest of judicial economy, I can publish a couple of emails. So, I'm sorry.
What's problem two?
Problem two will facilitate what you. I don't know how else to put this, Judge. Siri took her to City Hall instead of here.
I'm sorry?
She went to the wrong place. Siri took her to City Hall instead of here.
Google she went to the North County Courthouse? Or actually...
No, down the street. But she's about 10 or 15 minutes out. That's what I was...
Because sometimes when people put in Google Maps, they take them to a Waffle House off of... you think it's funny. The problem is that happens all the time.
to a Waffle House on North 41.
Is it any good?
City Hall is just 15 minutes from here. It's not too far.
That's what she said, Judge. But I mean, traffic apparently was very bad this morning to start with, and this didn't help matters. I think what I'm hearing from co-counsel here is that if you want to bring the jury in, we can publish a couple of things, and she ought to be here by then, and we can step out and talk to
her. Is there a deposition we can play?
We're clipping a couple now.
We're close to Hannah being done. I am not trying a third attempt at Malik until plaintiff's counsel has reviewed
the clip report. I've reviewed.
Did you cross?
And I indicated one or two areas that you might want to look at.
Okay, but it needs to be clipped yet, Judge. I didn't want to have it clipped until plaintiff's counsel had reviewed it and agreed as to what was coming out. So it needs to be fixed. So it's not ready.
So no deposition is ready to go.
How long would it take to clip it?
Well, I can't answer that question. But more than 5 minutes, I think there's a lot that has to be.
Well, before we, I lose you, Ms. Crowells, O'Leary Johnson, I ruled on the plaintiff's objections. I don't think I saw defense objections to their designations. I don't know if I missed it or if none are coming or you just haven't had a chance to do it.
Okay, I will check on that, Judge, with the team. I also believe that we're ready to send you Dr. Rose. I believe the plaintiff has done their counters and objections. We just need to get you the def and everything.
Well, if Dr. Sally Smith isn't going to be here for a few minutes, you can publish, but maybe after a few minutes of publishing, we'll have Dr. Malik's deposition ready to go, and then we can play that.
Well, I'll be fine, Judge. I'm sorry about the delay.
Your Honor, I think the court could give us some guidance. As I understand it, that Chapter 39 efforts of Dr. Smith are going to be off limits for this. So it will be solely as to her actions at the hospital insofar as the issue over agency, and I guess that correlates in with any involvement on treatment teams or suggestions of treatments.
Here is the reality. The jury knows that Sally Smith has a role in the dependency court proceeding. And the jury knows that there was an ongoing dependency action. I am fine with, orienting questions as to her role in the dependency. What I don't want to get into is an examination of her 45-page report to come to the conclusion or her recommendation to the dependency court that Beata Kowalski had Munchausen syndrome by proxy. So a few questions to orient the jury about who she is and her background, that's fine.
No objection to that. Mine would be, to put a finer point on it, an instance would be the question over her conversations with Dr. Kirkpatrick, which could go either way. In one way, if she's an agent for the hospital and she had conversations with Dr. Kirkpatrick, and there's evidence in the record from Dr. Kirkpatrick and his memo at the time that he did.
I think I cut most, but not all of that conversation from the deposition designations last night. I think I left in one or two, okay. But cut, I think, the majority of them, if I remember correctly.
Okay, this is for which depo?
Hannah. Oh, you said Kirkpatrick. I apologize. Because there were questions in Dr. Hannah's deposition about discussions with Dr. Sally Smith.
Yes.
I cut a good number of those out, but I left in a few, which those original questions and calls, it does not offend me, and I don't think it gets into Chapter 39, if there's just, hey, did you talk to some of these doctors?
That is exactly what we wanted to ask, because it puts her on notice, obviously, to the extent that she is involved in the care of Maya Kowalski, that she knows she has these other doctors as a resource. There's Dr. Wassenauer, and then there's Dr. Hannah, and there's Dr. Kirkpatrick. And so I just simply want to ask her, did you have these discussions with them? Were you aware of this as of X time? And that's all I really need to do.
Judge, I did not intend to do that for them. I'll make a proffer when it's all over with, but I got a transcript of what Your Honor told me the day before yesterday, and I've been figuring out how I'm going to try to do this. I've tried very much to abide by it.
And I appreciate that. The fact that Dr. Smith has talked to a few or a bunch of doctors, that does not, I don't think that's problematic. It's once you start getting into the substance and the prosecution of the dependency court action, that cannot be discussed. So, did she have discussions? Yes, but once we get into the substance of those discussions, I think that's where we need to draw the line. Does that...
I think so, Joe. I mean,
work with you.
We're going to inevitably touch on the fact that she was, as Your Honor pointed out, conducting an investigation, and she's doing this. But our entire point is that we're not talking about that. That's separate track, if you will. So I've tried to design this thing in such a way as to avoid that, and. I don't know where the cross is going to go. That's not my thing. But what I've tried to do is focus on her role and lack thereof at the hospital, and her lack thereof with the treatment team, and the fact that what she did, she was doing as a CPT captain. That's the whole point of it.
Yeah, and I understand, and if you need to approach, I'm going to let you have approaching, and we can, if there's a specific question, we can deal with it. It's like in a car crash case, when a investigating officer is doing a car crash case and they switch it over to a DUI investigation, they change hats, and there's a very clear demarcation. We just don't have that in this particular case, and we'll just have to...
I think from what I heard, Your Honor, I think I'm okay with if we just proceed. But there will be, on my end at least, there will be like passing reference to what she was doing, but I'm going to be talking about what her role was, not what she was doing.
Perfect. Okay. So let's do a couple of publishing of depositions. If Dr. Smith isn't here and Dr. Malik's deposition is ready, we'll do that. If Dr. Smith is here and Mr. Anderson and Mr. Hunter have spoken to her, then we can call Dr. Smith then.
Okay. I'm not sure we need to talk to her based on what Your Honor just said.
I suspect it's better if the two of you jointly discuss with her what we just talked about.
Very well. I can publish 3 emails at 4 or 5 minutes apiece. That'll take 15 minutes, and then hopefully Mr. Anderson and Mr. Hunter will be ready.
And if Dr. Sally Smith isn't ready, then hopefully by then the deposition is ready to go.
Yes, sir. Okay.
Anything else before I bring in the jury?
We need to talk to Sally Smith, and then we take the rest of the jury.
Bring in the jury. Is here.
Okay. Jurors and jurors.
Good morning. Please be seated, everyone. I want to confirm that while you were away, you did not discuss this case amongst yourselves. You did no investigation and received no information. Is that all correct?
Correct.
And has anyone approached you about this case? And have you seen any media accounts about this case since you were last with us? Okay. Mr. Shapiro.
Thank you, Your Honor. We would like to now publish what's been received into evidence as Defendant's Exhibit 3144, email of Beata Kowalski to Beata Kowalski regarding coma day one, November 18th, 2015.
That should be on your screen.
Thank you.
I'm just waiting for all the jurors to be finished before we go to the next one. Does anyone need more time? Okay, more time. I think they need more time. Mr. Shapiro, I think you can go to the next one.
All right. The defense publishes what's in evidence as Defense Exhibit 3145, email from Beata Kowalski to Beata Kowalski, Coma Day 2, 11-1950.
Anyone else need any more time? Mr. Shapiro, you can go to the next one.
Sure. The defense publishes Defense Exhibit 3146, email Beata Kowalski to Beata Kowalski, 11-2015.
time? Okay, well, more time, we need more time. Okay. Mr. Shapiro, I think the jury's ready at this point.
I think we're ready to call our next witness.
Mr. Hunter.
Very well, Your Honor. May it please the court. Our next witness is Dr. Sally Smith.
The Mizzio Control.
I do.
Come this way. And you're going to have a seat and stand there.
Good morning.
Tell us your name, please, ma'am.
Sally Marie Smith.
And what is your occupation?
I'm a pediatrician.
And where do you presently practice your profession?
I'm a partner in a pediatric general practice in St. Petersburg called Fifth Avenue Pediatrics.
And you have several other pediatricians that work with you in that practice?
Yes.
Okay. And that's basically a private practice of pediatrics?
It is.
Okay. Would you give the jury a brief, I think the jury's heard some of this, but if you give the jury a brief overview of your background and training in your profession, please.
Okay. My undergraduate degree was Bachelor of Science in Biology from Georgetown University in 1980. I went to St. Louis University School of Medicine and graduated in 1984. Pediatrics is a 3-year training, and so I did my first year and a half of my pediatric residency at what was then All Children's Hospital. And then I moved back to St. Louis and completed my residency at Cardinal Glennon Children's Hospital, which is the children's hospital affiliated with St. Louis University. And I did an additional year of training in what they call ambulatory pediatrics. I sort of had a career path trying to be a teaching general pediatrician. And so that was the focus of that additional year of training.
Okay. And did there come a point in your career at which you became interested in child abuse pediatrics?
Yes, actually when I was in medical school.
Okay. Tell us how that came about and how you developed that specialty.
I believe I actually became interested first because of some children that were in the ICU when I was a resident who had bad injuries and in medical school, I got ahead of myself. In medical school, I did a rotation with the county medical examiner who ran the morgue in the city of St. Louis. And because I was interested in pediatrics, she had me review all of the pediatric deaths from abuse that she'd seen over a period of maybe 10 years leading up to when I was there. And that got me very interested in the idea. And then as a resident, I saw additional children that increased my interest. And then as in my fellowship in ambulatory pediatrics, I worked with the director of the sexual abuse evaluation program at Cardinal Glennon Children's Hospital. I worked with them like once a week or close to that, seeing children in their sexual abuse evaluation program.
Did you subsequently undergo additional training in child abuse pediatrics?
So because of when I started this, which was in the late 80s, there wasn't really what's called fellowship training in child abuse pediatrics. So what I ended up learning over the years was mostly through experience. And beginning in 1988, I was the director of a sexual abuse evaluation program in New Brunswick, New Jersey at the Robert Wood Johnson University School of Medicine, and I was a teaching general pediatrician there. And then in 1990, I moved back to Florida, and I actually took a general pediatrics faculty position at All Children's Hospital. And as part of my job, I asked them if I could work with the child protection team. And so from there, I just ended up seeing virtually all the children that have come through All Children's Hospital for the last 32 years for who needed evaluations for alleged child abuse and neglect. So I gained my training, if you will, in the trenches, just seeing children, looking things up, reading about it, checking with expert colleagues, learning from, the radiologists, the neurosurgeons, the other people who work with these children down at All Children's, and ended up acquiring a pretty high level of expertise.
Did there come a point in time at which you applied for board certification in child abuse pediatrics?
Yes, so in 2009 was the first year that a board certification was made available for the specialty of child abuse pediatrics. And at that time, as I mentioned, because there wasn't really a fellowship in child abuse pediatrics, which would be 2 or 3 years additional training, the people who were allowed to sit for the exam could also be people who had at least 5 years experience in evaluating children for child abuse, were working in that specialty for at least 20 hours a week, which I qualified for both of those. And also you needed to have essentially a letter sent to the American Board of Pediatrics from someone who was kind of a recognized expert in child abuse who would sort of vouch for you, that you were a person that should be allowed to take the exam. So I took that exam, I believe in November of 2009. It was in the fall. And then I think early January was notified that I had passed the exam and therefore was board certified in child abuse pediatrics.
Okay. Now, did there come a time in your career at which you became involved with the child protection team for Pinellas County?
Yes, so I worked for All Children's, I'm going to keep leaving out the Johns Hopkins because I've just been using that term for 32 years. But anyway, when I went to All Children's to join the faculty, I started working with the child protection team in Pinellas County. And the hospital basically had an arrangement where they billed the child protection team when I saw cases for them for the hours that I worked and allowed me to have the time to do that. And so for that 12-year period when I was working for the hospital, I was on campus. And so vast majority of the children who were hospitalized where there were allegations of child abuse and neglect and a medical evaluation was requested, I did those evaluations. So I was a consulting pediatrician for the child protection team during those 12 years. In November of 2002, their medical director left, and they asked me if I would take over as the medical director. So at first I tried to work out a way to keep my job at All Children's and also do that, but it wasn't really very practical, and so I ended up resigning from All Children's at that time and became the medical director for the child protection team. So for Pinellas County, that's about a 20-hour a week. I ended up working more like 26, I believe, over time, but it's about a 20-hour per week job. And so I did that, and within a few months, I started working at this private practice where I still am.
Okay. Let me back up a little bit there and try to clarify a couple of things. You indicated you resigned from what was then just All Children's Hospital.
Right.
No Johns Hopkins.
Right.
In 2002, is that right?
Correct.
And at that time, you became the director of the child protection team for Pinellas County, correct?
Right. The term they use for the physician is the medical director. So I was the medical director.
So what is a child protection team, and who constitutes it? Who were you working for at that time?
So the child protection teams, Florida has a kind of a model program for the country, and it was set up in the late 70s. I think that All Children started.
Objection, Your Honor. This is beyond scope. Sustained. Move the strike.
Sir?
Sustained.
Can we approach, Your Honor?
Sure.
More live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today is coming up. Press subscribe now.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. Looking for a little Hollywood style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. If you love great games and a little extra excitement to your day, I got something fun for you. Chumba Casino and I have teamed up to create an exclusive online social casino game. It's called Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's fun and free to play, just like all your favorites from Chumba Casino. And every spin brings 10,000 ways to keep the good times going. Check it out and play for free today at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. If you love great games and a little extra excitement to your day, I got something fun for you. Chumba Casino and I have teamed up to create an exclusive online social casino game. It's called Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's fun and free to play, just like all your favorites from Chumba Casino. And every spin brings 10,000 ways to keep the good times going. Check it out and play for free today at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.